Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, our arms hurt from doing push-ups. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. Welcome to the show for today.
Did you turn yourself down?
No, I didn't turn myself down. Did you turn yourself down?
No, but you're so much more quiet all of a sudden.
I haven't changed anything except, how about now? Is it better?
It's better. It's a little echoey.
it's echoey. It's echoey now.
To the professional podcast that is Apathetic Enthusiasm.
We've been doing this before?
For almost a whole decade.
Was it echoey before we started recording?
No, maybe you sound great. You sound great.
Do I?
You do. You really do. You sound so much better than you did when you're using your laptop microphone.
Right? You do. You really do. Do I? You sound so much better than Are you sure I do?
For the audio listener, Brandon is now checking his own audio levels via the Twitch stream. If you want to be a part of the show,
Okay, great. Join
us Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm.
Go ahead and skip all of them.
You can watch us live on Twitch. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. We're on Twitter at apathusiast. I am at Jugglemino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. We'll talk about more of that here in a little bit. Email the show, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. You can follow our Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, or go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can get all of the things, all the links. If you miss a Twitch stream, you want to see what we look like, head over to YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for being here. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff. That's it. Patrons, you're the best. Patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Brandon, how are your levels?
My levels are good. Oh my God. I must have adjusted something because now I feel very loud, but I think you sound good.
We sound good collectively. And as I alluded to in the intro of the show, how are your arms feeling?
Oh, yes. My arms. Well, I can tell you, we talked about this last week. We talked about the St. Jude doing 3,000 push-ups in the month of May. A real quick aside, it was like 3,000. So that's 100 push-ups a day for 30 days.
Approximately.
Now, I'm going to look at my knuckles, say January, February, March, April, May. There's 31 days in May.
31 days.
Look at that. Look, our average.
I call that the push-up buffer. That's that extra day for the push-ups you missed throughout the rest of the month. But if you have no idea what we're talking about, We talked about this a little bit in the last episode. We are doing that St. Jude 3,000 push-ups in May attempt. We're tracking it all on a spreadsheet in Google Sheets. how do you feel after the first week, Brandon?
So the first day we started, I hadn't done push-ups in basically a long time. With any kind of seriousness, maybe like a year and a half to 2 years. Like that's how long it had really been. I think maybe early last year, I may have like tried to get this thing like, okay, keep track push-ups on the board, but there was no like external motivator, I guess, for it.
Yeah.
And so here I am now, first week, first day, I can knock out 100 a day if I just do 20 every hour. Easy. But it's like, yeah, it's like
that's, hour of... that's what 20 every hour. That's 400 push-ups in the day. It's not a problem.
It's no problem. No problem. Cause you're spacing it out, you know, over
480 over... push-ups. Not a big deal.
And, basically, you know, it's like the hour of power, right? With taking shots of beer. You're like a shot of beer every minute for an hour. And it's like, you're only, by the time you get to the next shot, you're already processing the other shot. So it's fine. Right.
Is that a thing? I've never heard of that.
Really? You've never heard of hour of power? Man, you gotta go to college.
I should have not gone to an online art college is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Anyway, so the push-ups every hour, by the first 20, great. The second 20, great. At like midway through the third set, I'm like, oh, this is starting to hurt. And I stuck with 100 for a couple days. And then my chest was just so sore around my nippy areas. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm gonna injure myself. So I still did them a couple of days. Like I did 40 one day and then 60 another. And then let myself heal, because you're really realistic. You're supposed to let your arms heal for a day, all your muscles.
Sure.
And then I came in strong starting yesterday. And so now.
Did you ever? Like, yeah. 150 or something. It's crazy.
Yeah. All at once. I did that all at once.
All at once. Just hour of power, 140 push-ups.
We said, you know what? I need a little bit of a break. Going to amplify the quantity that we do. Just, you know, very, very small. And so I went from 20 to 25 to 150 per set.
Well, good. I will say I was worried there for a couple of days where your push-up count was getting a little bit lower, and I was like, man, I hope Brandon ain't quitting on me. And then I would like refresh the sheets, and then you're just smoking out push-ups. Like Sunday, you're like, I'll do all the push-ups. So good to see your back. You're healed up and you're crushing it.
How are you feeling?
Generally sore. It's weird because I've done about 4 solid months of all lower body work with all the running. And then within a span of a week, I've almost all but neglected running and only done push-ups. So doing great. I've been able to average about 100 a day. A couple days, if I'm feeling good, I'll go over 100 to make up for the days when I am not feeling as good. But I'm generally averaging about that 100 a day, so feel good about it. And yeah, trying to amp up the number of reps in a set. You know, you know what I mean, bro. You know, if you're on the floor, you're stealing them push-ups.
I feel like you got to
max
like,
out.
I feel like
know.
You got to.
I don't
do
know.
That.
Is that? I don't know. I don't know how. What I'm
if,
even talking
if you wanna,
about. Right
if you want to bulk up, if you want to bulk up across the month of May, you got to start. Got to start increasing them reps to burnout.
Yeah, something like that. There's definitely been a few days of burnout, but anyway, we're doing push-ups. Yeah. Oddly enough. Emails from people wanting to be added to the spreadsheet.
Oddly enough, strange.
So weird.
Strange. I thought we were going to get a mass influx of people who wanted to do push-ups, but turns out not a lot of people. No. In fact, zero people.
So I do have one question for you, yeah. Because we both work in somewhat of an office environment.
Uh-huh.
Are you doing push-ups at work? You doing push-ups in the office?
Yeah, I am.
Does it feel weird to you? Because it feels weird to me to do it.
Well, you have an office, right?
I do. Yeah, I have an office.
Okay, all right. So is there a door on your office?
There's two, actually. Not to brag, but there are two doors.
Okay. No, that sounds great. Do you keep the door open when you're doing push-ups randomly?
I have, yeah. Do you just close your door for 30 seconds? And then knock out 20 push and then open your door.
if the shoe fits. so any of my coworkers who I was informed that my coworkers are now listening to this show. First of all, sorry. second of all, if you see my door closed, wait 30 seconds, and then if I don't open it, it's because I'm in a meeting. If it opens up, it's because I'm done doing push-ups. This is AE Peace Among Ricks joining the chat. Yeah. So
yeah. If you hear,
yeah, I close my door.
Yeah, I guess I could close my door, and then just and then like 30 seconds later,
you'll have to make that door, sound.
And my face is all red, and I'm breathing heavy. I'm like, hey guys, don't worry about what just happened in there while my door was closed. For 30 seconds.
What's really helpful is the people in the cubicle right outside my office, I don't interact with them at all. And so like they never ask me why I'm opening and closing the door because they don't care. And that's sense. Fine. That's fine. Yeah, but I'm just like, I get up. I'm like, da-da-da. Cuckoo. Yeah. And I put my line badge or whatever.
You're little lanyard back around your neck.
So you have a lanyard, right? You care. This is the most interesting.
No,
thing.
I don't use a lanyard. No.
Oh, you don't use lanyard? Okay. So I have a lanyard. And so sometimes I'm like, I flip the lanyard on my back. So when I'm doing push-ups, the lanyard's resting on my back to give me that extra weight. Sometimes I do. I just let the lanyard hang down and I'll go with the rhythm. I'll go. You know, the reason I keep the lanyard on is because I know that one of these days I'm going to take it off, and I've done this in the past. So I'll take it off and I'll forget to put it back on, and I'll walk out of the building. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no, no lanyard. And then I'll be like, I have a similar problem because I tend to fully disrobe when I'm doing my pushups, which keeping the doors closed. Keeping the doors closed would have been a good option, but I hadn't thought about that. So, no.
Travis is naked again.
Yep. Just doing his push-ups.
That's right. You know,
singing about what he sees. Anyway, that's our push-up minute. Getting fit in the month of May. So, we're gonna be totally yoked by by June. Just watch out, everybody.
That's why I'm still in my dressy shirt, is because like I can't get it off, right?
Yeah, it's just too tight.
Just too tight. Too tight now.
anyway, that's push-ups. Another brief topic that we're going to cover, and we would probably expand on it a lot further if Brandon had a spare moment in his weekend to get out to the movie theater. But yet another Marvel movie premiered this last week. It is, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This is your short, 2-minute, spoiler-free review. I went and saw the film.
You know, did you start?
Oh, give me a go.
Did you start? And 3, 2, 1, Travis's review, go.
The Guardians are back for the final installment in this amazing trilogy. I think this movie has a lot of heart. It expounds on the backstory of some of our most beloved characters. I feel like everything from the writing to the music to the action really just are the cherry on top of an outstanding Marvel's trilogy. And even without the expansion into the greater MCU, I think it does a really great job of just.
You have a minute and 30 left. Everything.
A minute 30? That was only 30 seconds? I have so much more to say. Yeah, I went with my son. We had a great time, and I think everybody should go see it. If you're, I was
minute
not
15.
A huge Guardians fan before the trilogy, before the first film, and now these are some of my most favorite characters in the MCU. So, really think it's great. Brandon, can't wait for you to go see it, and that's my review. I came in way under time.
1 minute. Ooh, man, that was good. That was good. Look, we should change it to the 1 minute review. I think that's something we should do, right? For things that I've
seen
that you haven't seen or you won't see.
Yeah.
We'll stick with the 1 minute review. We'll get a phone, we'll get the timer, and then that's what we'll do. That's from here on out, Travis.
That's the beauty of Apathetic Enthusiasm, everyone, is we are consistently reinventing ourselves on this show. Mm-hmm. which is why our next segment is called Netflix Rewatch. This is the segment where we rewatch an old movie on Netflix.
And after that, we're going to talk about some new piece of technology that we've never touched.
Yeah. An article we read about on TheVerge.com. Speaking of, that's actually my next segment. Okay. Is an article that I read on TheVerge.com. Did you? It's actually based on a tweet from Elon Musk. He loves his Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to keep it going. Sure. But this tweet came out today, actually. And it says, we're purging accounts that have had no activity at all for several years so that you will probably see follower count drop. This came out middle of the day today, May 8th. So Elon has been known to tweet about certain features or updates or policies on Twitch that don't always play out. They don't always come to fruition, but this really got me thinking about @JuggleMino, the Twitter account that I have held for like 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not that active on Twitter. So I'm in fear of the health and safety of my Twitter account now.
I don't think you have to worry about your Twitter account. I think he's referring to accounts that haven't tweeted in like 2 years, a year, 2 years. You've tweeted since then.
Have been a basketball playoff since then.
There had to have been, and I've tagged you and stuff as well. I think that what I saw, and I hadn't considered this before, is the people who have legacy accounts. So I know like Facebook does this, Facebook for old people and racists is, if somebody passes away, right? Like a family member can go in there and have it become a legacy account so that you don't lose those memories. You don't lose the side of that person. So there are people on Twitter that have passed away and that still have memories associated with them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the concern for some people is like for example, the Cryptozoic guy, like a long time ago, we worked with Cryptozoic, a guy at Cryptozoic. He's the one who gave us some like Rick and Morty trading cards.
Yep.
Well, he passed away. His account is still up there as a legacy account. Well, it should be a legacy account. But so things like that, I think, are the problem. There's probably some other use cases of why you would want to keep that account up there. But I think this also goes back to like the threat that he made about NPR. Like, oh, NPR, you're not on the platform anymore. Guess I'll, in his dickish way, joking about giving away NPR. Like, I don't think he's actually going to, but the way he is, he's like, I'm going to be a troll and I'm going to say this. and so that's what happened. So,
how do you feel? I know you're way more active on Twitter than I am. How do you feel about sort of the landscape of Twitter as it sits right now? And do you have concerns about it going away, about it sort of losing its popularity, or are you kind of fine if that happens? Like, what are your thoughts on Twitter 2024 and beyond?
A real quick aside, we joked about going back to the past and doing old stuff to make it new again. And when you said, do you have concerns? I was trying to think of like, what is that podcast he listened to?
Oh, we have concerns.
With
Carboni or
what's old is new again. I have some concerns about the health of the long-term health of the platform, because I've seen it like, I don't know. It's the complaint about it before was that it was an echo chamber and people are in their communities and they're just echoing sentiments. Right. Which is fair. I think every platform that there is has that echo chamber. I think what I'm seeing from Twitter is it's becoming an echo chamber for the blue check. I don't want to minimize it to this, but the blue check marks versus the non blue check marks, the people who are paying for the right to have the blue check mark and the ones who don't. Like I can look at an Elon tweet and I look for the discourse, right? Like anybody who's like intelligently trying to be like, not bootlick and be like, yeah, well, what about this? And like having a back and forth, right? An honest back and forth. And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it because every single one of those tweets that are responding to him is a blue check mark. And I like, no shit. One of Elon's tweets, I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. You know? And that's like for the audio listener, that is me fingering through Twitter.
It was like you're spinning the wheel for the Showcase Showdown on Price is Right, is what it looked like.
Yeah. And so I couldn't find any non-blue, and they're all just fawning over him. And you know, like I'm not going to discount his effect on culture and his stature out there, right? Like he's been a part of some companies and people have worked for him and he's been successful, and like SpaceX has done some good stuff, right? Like, and Tesla's, even though they're like the most obnoxious car to me. I wanted one for a long time and now I don't want one because I'm like, I see them all over the place and they're always the cars that I'm like, get out of the way. Get out of the way, stupid car. Anyway, he's done good. But it's this, I don't know if it's confirmation bias, like it's some kind of bias where, or appeal to authority where it's like, oh, well, he's rich and he's famous and he's capable. And so we should all listen to him. Despite the fact that he's an asshole to people, and I don't like people who are not good people to each other.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. Yeah, I don't know why I used to love Twitter like a long, long time ago, and then I just stopped using it. I think I lost the, you know, I just something. Was lost in Twitter for me in terms of, I don't know, maybe it was the people I was engaged with or the accounts I was following. And I mean, the account's still out there.
Man.
it's just not,
it was me. I was the only person you followed. Well, I kicked you off of Twitter.
That's not true. That's not true.
I'm joking.
But yeah. So anyway, I just tweeted during this podcast just to keep my account alive. So, yeah, let us know if you, care at all about Twitter in any way, shape, or form.
I'll say this about Twitter. Like I'm trying to use it more. Like I feel like I'm using it more, but like I'm all over the place with the things that I post. And like, I think that's okay. But I think it's okay because people who want to follow me or talk to me, like they're there and then they interact with me. But you know, like, as far as like a niche or a like a platform, like some people are very specific and they're like, I'm talking about product management. Some people are like, I'm talking about horror films, right? And I'm like, here's a song. Oh, look at this thing. Oh, here's a Ouija board. Here's a video from Kevin Smith about mental health, right? Like I'm just like kind of all over the place. Or I'm retweeting the WGA stuff. So yeah, I don't know where I was going with that other than to say I do use Twitter a lot more.
Yeah.
I
was just gonna say I think in the last few years I've just stopped posting as much generally on any social platforms. I tried like getting into Instagram for a second. And if I have something to post, it's usually in like a story, so it's not even gonna last more than like 24 hours. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe if my day-to-day life wasn't so uninteresting, I'd have more to say. But yeah.
You know what?
Instead, I save it all up for 1 hour on Monday nights. Woohoo!
You know what I think it was, Travis? I think it was when we were in Hawaii and we tried to do the live tweet for the Oscars, and then we didn't do it. I think that was what killed you.
Yeah,
I was like,
you know what? I'm done tweeting. That's it. We're through.
We're done. We're done with that.
It was 8 years ago in Hawaii when I decided no more. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's Twitter tweets.
What else? So this last weekend, I mentioned the Kevin Smith thing that I tweeted about yesterday. I sent you a little message about it. It's tied to running too, because I saw it posted on Facebook.
Never talk about running again.
Right. Push-ups.
Push-ups. Yeah, it's tied to push-ups.
During my recovery push-ups.
Yeah, sure. That's the ticket.
There's a guitar guy I follow on Facebook, and he posted the Kevin Smith video, and so I was like, oh yeah, okay, Kevin Smith. I've seen him live. He's always got good stories to tell. So I'm like, okay, yeah, let's listen to it. And I didn't realize it was going to be so serious. And I'm okay with that because he talks about serious stuff in his shows. But so the video, I got maybe about like 6 or 7 minutes into it, and I'm like, this is really good. I should go on a recovery push-up run. So then because I didn't know how to keep my phone locked and play the video on YouTube, I just held the video up the entire time, whatever. So I used that for my recovery piece. And that was really, really good. I do recommend that little talk that he gives, because he talks about his trauma and how it relates to himself and how all of us have it. And that it's okay. Like we can grow from it, there's a lot of resonant stuff for me. But anyways, check it out. I do highly recommend it. Okay, but what else happened this weekend? This is off the back end of something exciting, Travis. That we did. Well, that I did. I don't know if it was exciting for anybody else, but
we were all part of it, Brandon.
What did you do this weekend? I'll pass that your way.
I played D&D for the first time in a while because my good friend Brandon Cruz was so thoughtful in hosting we call it a one shot, right? A one shot is typically a single story that is played in a single session. But when we play a one shot, it's usually several weeks of time. because we love to go off the rails a little bit. But you hosted a one shot. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you came up with the idea for the story or sort of what the inspiration was for the session?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because you're part of the story.
Absolutely.
So the campaign, this session that I started, Travis and I we've wanted to do a new campaign for a long time. And I talked to our friend John.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Kaufelt, my brother Brett, my friend Kevin, and like wanting to get something started again. At the same time, my son wants to really play D&D. He really wants to play it. He like looks at the books. He's created multiple characters. He's played with his friends, and I use that in quotes because one of his friends like had a party and like, okay, we're gonna go through a campaign. And then like within 20 minutes, the 4 to 5 friends were in such disarray. The one friend who was a DM, the dungeon master, had never run a session before. And so it just turned into just chaos. And so my kid was kind of disenfranchised or disillusioned by a little bit, but he still wants to play. And so I thought, what is a good way for me to not only set up a session with the adults, but also have my son play? And this goes back to your son as well, Travis. Like, we thought of like, how could we play together, the two fathers and the two sons? Yeah. And I'm like, okay, what is there where there's adults with kids? And I'm like, summer camp, obviously. You got your summer, you get your camp counselors, and you've got the campers themselves. I'm like, this could be a fun little thing that we do. So I created the map, I started the session, we set everything up. And so Camp Crumpsy, which is a play on Camp Krusty from The Simpsons, became a thing. And I wanted to call it Camp Crystal Crumpsy, but then I thought it'd be like, you know, like we don't need to have too much.
We don't need to infuse too much Brandon into the just single title of the name of the camp. Yeah.
That's right. So that's the idea of the session. And so the kids come there, my son played, they come there as counselor or campers. They're level one. They're not experienced anything. They have their own little backstories. For you and the other adults, John, Kevin, and Brett, like, you guys are campers. And I like in the chat, I would send you things and characters as like the director of the camp, being like, all right, guys, get ready for it. Here's the flyer. Can't wait to see you. And like dropping some lines and interacting with you and character in the chat. And then the session was just like, basically like the first hour of the session was me as the director taking on a tour throughout the entire camp. And then the fun actually started.
Yeah, no, I think that the idea was really solid. I loved what you did with, because we typically don't have what is known as a zero session. When we play within our groups, we don't all get together and like build our characters together or anything like that. We usually just jump right in. So by creating that sort of group chat that where you could drop media and images, you made little flyers and all that stuff, and having that conversation is just really helped kind of all of us to get more a sense of what to expect. And it was easy, I think, to jump right in with that premise. I gotta say, like, I don't know if this is like a weird like dad thing or whatever, but I'm like a little bit nervous when we start playing, because I'm like, all right, like how's my kid gonna do with like a group of adults, and is he gonna feel intimidated? Is he gonna feel like willing to like come out of his shell and play a little bit, or is he gonna be like way too out of his shell and like be trying to like be all like over the top, like I'm gonna impress these adults with my, you know, D&D thoughts or whatever. So but I think it felt pretty good, and he seemed to be excited. Yeah. Especially when we got into combat, I think he really liked that aspect of it, because he understood the mechanic a little bit more of like, all right, take turns. And then he was like, too bad I didn't like do any help or whatever. And I'm like, all right, you're a level one fighter. You have one attack. If you roll poorly, which you did on both of your turns, like that's just how it goes. Your sword missed. But that's why we have lots of people. We play together and we can help each other out and stuff.
And just wait till Brett's turn, and then he'll kill everything.
The min-max master that is Brett. Yeah.
That's his password. I made his password that for a bit. Like I feel your pain. Like feel your dad emotions there. Because yeah, like my kid was right next to me. I'm DMing, so like I'm paying a lot attention to a lot of stuff. I'm paying attention to all of you, everything that you're saying. I'm also, you know, I'm also keeping an eye on your kid too, because I'm like, because I want him to feel welcome, and feel like he's being heard. And a couple times I would be like, "Hey, Travis, kid, do you said something? You want to bring that up again? You know, because I want him to feel heard." Yeah. And same thing with my son, right? Like he says something, all the adults are talking. I'm like, all right, what'd you say? Okay, all right, you're right. Because I feel that, like, for me, the session was more about these kids who don't play D&D to have them be able to experience it. And you know, I said that to you ahead of time.
Yeah,
said that to Brett, said that to Kevin, said that to John as well, to make sure like everyone is kind of like on this common goal to like, yeah, we're gonna play D&D and we're gonna make jokes. John makes jokes, which, you know, my kid loves. He's like, who's your favorite person? Like, John, of course.
Well, yeah, it was I mean, it was good. I felt like it was a good session. It was fun. And we didn't get super far into it, so I'm hopeful that you have more in store and we can put another session together and bring the team back together.
So I want to bring that up real quick. So I had set the session up to have two different combat scenarios. Now, the first hour, as I said, was going around the camp, introducing the kids and you guys to all of the different people around the camp. You know, the alchemy, the cafeteria lady, the dungeon trainer, all that type of stuff. And then like trying to make up voices for each one of them and remember what voice I used. And then so that took a long time. But I had that initial combat, which was against a bunch of wolves. And what was great about getting you guys into that combat with the wolves is because I had established with you beforehand that like we're streamlining it, we want to get into it. You guys know what your common goal is, which is to have the kids have fun and get them into stuff. Like it was a little bit on rails, like, you know, kind of pushed you in a direction, but everyone was kind of okay with that. And so it got you into the wolf combat, which that whole story was the camp was getting reopened and there weren't enough kids to counselors. So the four of you get to watch two kids versus like the main head counselor who watches like a pack of kids, but he loses one of the kids. The kid disappears. And so he comes to your group and says, "Hey, can you help me find the kid? Like, I got to watch these kids. They're assigned to me. I can't ditch them all, but there's extra of you. Can you go find them?" And so that leads you to look for old Coop. And so then you find him, you fight the wolves. That was one thing. Combat takes way longer than I ever account for. It always takes much longer. I'm like, it's going to take like 10 minutes, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then it lasts an hour and some change.
And the funny thing about that is I feel like we didn't take a really long time individually with combat. Like I feel every person, to include the kids, when it was their turn, they had an idea of what they wanted to do, or they came up with something pretty quickly. We didn't drag our feet or have any like, "Oh, let me go look up the rules on something real quick." Like it was pretty fluid. It's just the mechanics of fighting things in D&D. Like it takes a while. And then, you know, we like to add flavor to it, right? So when something dies, we want to describe the death or, you know, any mm-hmm. of that stuff too. So that takes some time.
And sometimes and I made it a point too where I'm like, the point is to have fun. It's not to be a rule Nazi. So like sometimes like I can't find this. I have this ability. I can't find it anywhere. And I was like, what does the ability do? It gives me advantage. All right, fuck it. Just go for it. You have advantage. Just roll. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
So that was fun. One of the things that my kid said at the end of the session, after everything's done and said, and I didn't really account for this piece. He was really excited. He had so much fun. And he's like, "I can't wait to go back into it." And same thing with your kid, and like excited, like wanted to play again. I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." My son said, like, there's so much stuff I still have to explore in there. Like, I want to see what this alchemy lab's about. I want to do archery. I want to do this like underground dungeon thing. Like, I want to see it all." And I hadn't planned on any of those things. I planned on this like summer camp with activities to make it kind of have this verisimilitude of an event that would, a place that would exist.
Yeah.
I didn't think like, "Oh, I can make an entire like kids campaign around all of the different activities."
But it looks like you got your work cut out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have like, What's cool is I already have how I had expected that the session to end. I had that already planned out. So now I just have like a more overarching story already for everything that's there. It's the foundation's there, bruh.
It's good. It's good. We just got to figure out when we're all available to play again at the same time.
Hopefully not too soon because I'm busy.
You're so busy. But yeah, no, I think it was super fun. It was fun getting back into it. It's fun, you know. I have an issue where even if I know it's like a one shot, I go all in on creating a character, and I'm like, oh, I gotta create something that I haven't played before, and oh, let me design a virtual mini for it on Hero Forge. And I did not go as far as to print a physical mini this time yet. Give it time. It could happen. But yeah, I that's the one thing with how we play and how many of our sessions have gone is I get really attached to some of these characters, and then we play it for a few months, and then it's like, all right, we'll move on. And I'm like, oh, what about Pierce Clawthorn? What if he's all alone. No, he's not, you know, torturing anybody at Goblindale anymore. So
that was a fun session. Yeah, and you know the thing about D&D is like life happens, and so your party that you are playing with disbands for this, that, or the other reason, or like you want to keep everyone together, right? If you have your five core people, you're like, I want to keep everyone together because the story is about all of you. But reality is life happens. Shit falls by the wayside. And so you got to adjust. And yeah, so, yeah. You know, like, and so like one shots are an easy, like out. They're like, okay, yeah, I want to play. It's low commitment where we're playing, but we want them to be longer. I think we want one shots to be longer, but we got to adjust. Like, we just have to build in like adjusting to if somebody has to drop out for a weekend. Like, we don't have to have everybody all the
time.
Yeah,
there was a group at work that they started playing like once a week over lunch, mm-hmm. and it was interesting the way that they had set up the mechanic, because every session would begin and end in town, right? And so it was very like exploration based, and there were overarching stories, and they used like a Discord server to post updates about what happened in each session, so that if somebody missed a session, they could read that and get the cliff notes of what was going on. But because it always started and ended back in the town, people could come and go, and if somebody was gone that day, they could still play a session. It's just they played with whatever party was there. And so there was a little bit of dynamics in the way that, you know, encounters would go and stuff like that, because sometimes you have, you know, a party with a bunch of tanky, you know, individuals that can hold their own, and maybe another time you're not as you know, well off and stuff. So but
party makeup is important, true. Right?
Yeah, you need to have it's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
But he used a lot of like roll tables, and so a lot of the encounters were a little bit random and a little bit like just based on stuff that he had already had set up. So he made it very clear. He's like, this stuff is not weighted or balanced based on your party. So if you walk in the wrong direction and roll the wrong way, total party kill is very possible at any given time. Which, you know, you just have to be aware of and not be afraid to run away from certain fights.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's cool to like find ways to balance when everybody is there. I think of Goblindale, Brian, who was out for a couple sessions, like his character, Noro was just like, just passed out on the couch, just was just sleeping on the couch. And we're like, that's where he is. Brett, my brother, was supposed to join us right at 6 PM Pacific. 6:04, he's nowhere to be seen. I sent him some texts, nothing. I call him, nothing. And sure enough, I'm like, he wakes up to go to work, but by 5, he's asleep. That's exactly where he is. And so he didn't show up until an hour and some change later. Mm-hmm. But walking around the camp, introducing to all these characters, it was like, Mr. Minx is following, but he's not saying anything. He's just watching. He's just watching and just grimacing. And then when Brett finally showed up, then, you know, go into there. And that ends up being what it is. Like, the DM plays the other character to the best of their ability. The adjustment of DMing when you're trying to keep things balanced and you're trying to push forward with a story, I think that that could be sometimes difficult, especially if you're like very strict to the roles and like not fudging things behind the scenes. Look, I know this isn't the right thing to say, and I know that people don't like this. DMs around the world don't like this, to hear this, but I want people to have fun, and I do fudge shit behind the scenes. Like, I'm okay with saying that, because I'm like, are we right? Like, what's the flow of the emotion right now? Right? Are people having fun, or right now are they like, this is taking too long, or I'm getting so frustrated? Like, well, if that is like the tone of what's happening, then I'm going to make adjustments behind the scenes to be like, not be like, you kill them automatically. Bye. Here's 5 million pieces of gold. But I will be like to try to adjust the flow. And I know that's not based off the rule set. That's not right.
And when you happen to hear you roll twice, and like you roll once and then you're like, and then you roll again and then you're like, oh no, it didn't work or something. That's like, because we can't see your rolls, but we can hear them. So
I didn't do that. Okay. I did when I rolled twice. That time that I rolled twice, it was when my kid did poison on him. And so no, it was, who was it going to attack? This gigantic wolf was surrounded by Kevin and your kid, and the wolf was like, wanted to attack, and it was like about to die. And so for me, I was like, who do I want it to attack? Because I wanted to be fair about it. It would either be Kevin or your kid. And so I rolled once. Oh, okay. Well, that sucks. And then rolled again for the attack. And that's when it attacked your kid.
And like took out over half of his health.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing this on purpose.
That's all right. But when he lived.
But when I sent the other wolf at my kid, that was on purpose. Mm-hmm. Just because he rolled at the very bottom of the initiative. For those who don't play D&D, initiative is like the order in which you go. My kid was dead last. And so there was no more wolves. And when you're dead last and everything else is dead, you're like, there's this kind of like, oh, that sucks. Like, I waited a long time. So I sent a random baby wolf at him, attacked him. It damaged him. He's looking at me like, what the heck, Dad? and then he did some damage. And then it died on the next turn. So,
yeah. Whatever. That's just dads being dads.
Dads being dads.
Well, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for putting that together. Hopefully we can play again soon.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody else has any suggestions or recommendations on how to have a successful D&D session when you're playing with a mixed group of adults and kids, we're very open to your suggestions. Hit us up at apathusiast or at apathetic enthusiasm. What is it? At gmail.com.
apathetic enthusiasm
show. Don't forget the show. Don't forget it. I think that's it. Unless, mailbag time, if anybody, in the Twitch chat has any questions for us, or Brandon, if you have any lingering thoughts on anything we talked about, before we get out of here, any thoughts?
Shout out to the Twitch chat. Let's see. You tweet Peace Among Rick saying, yeah, you better go tweet before Elon yeets your ass. You did that. Homar showed up, invited expert 6497 saying, the hell with Twitter. Let's talk about Guardians Volume 3. I think it may be the best of the three. This is adding to your time. You still have a minute left. Is that, what do you think?
No, I agree. It might be the best of the three. Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well,
you should definitely go see it. I will probably go see it again in the next week.
I thought about, I was going to try to see it on Sunday. But instead, I have an artichoke plant that I needed to trim. I also put some fertilizer around my lime and my orange tree. I planted onion bulbs in my planter because we go through onions a fair amount. I also de-weeded. I removed some old shrubs. Anyways, so I didn't do the Guardians.
Didn't go to the movie.
Oh, I went to breakfast with my son. Just he and I went to Black Bear Diner.
Oh, and have you had their pickle ranch?
No, it's homemade. I don't know if you know that.
Wow.
And he had 4 chocolate chip pancakes.
Wow.
I had a scrambled egg, a slice of bacon, a sausage, and 2 pancakes, and I could not finish it. I got through like half of the pancakes, and I was like, oh, I'm stuffed. He was done with his chocolate chip pancakes. I said, I dare you to eat one of these. And he's like, I'm going to do it. And sure enough, he did. So
Good for him.
We're counting calories, and he ate more than me.
Yeah, absolutely. question in the chat, are we still starting our animation podcast? Yes, it is still in the works. I actually have an outline for the first 4 episodes. We have a little bit more research and development to do to try and figure out that format. That show will not be streamed live, unfortunately, in its production. It'll be available on YouTube when it comes out, as well as all of our normal podcast platforms. So we'll be working on that. It's still in development. But we owe an update over on Patreon, and as well as we need to just kind of make it. It's been a weird lifetime sort of situation for us as well. So a lot of real life getting in the way of podcast development too. But it is still definitely in development.
Yes, that is true. I actually the other day one of the folks I know was like, "Hey, did you ever reach out to Bob Kurtz about doing the animation stuff?" Like, I gotta admit, I didn't hit him up. He's like, "Nah, it's all right. Stuff happens." So, I think it's definitely still there on our radar. I think when we go to Comic-Con, like, that is an opportunity also to talk to some folks and maybe make some connections. But I think what it boils down to is, like, 1, finding the time for it. 2, dedicating, like, once we find the time for it, dedicating that time for it and saying, like, more scheduled wise, like, hey, we have an hour on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock at night to even brainstorm some stuff. And then also, like, real life stuff, creative things. Like, sometimes I get overwhelmed by the things I want to do creatively. And then I do a thing here and there, and then I'm like, I gotta do a D&D campaign this weekend, but I want to play my new guitar, right?
Yeah.
I want to play my new guitar. I also want to play Rock Band because my road crew is counting on me to get some experience points so we get promoted to platinum this week, right? Oh, dang it. But I also want to play the new Star Wars game, you know? So it's just all over the place.
It's coming. But check out the latest episode of Submitted for Your Approval, Twilight Zone podcast.
Shit, I forgot about that one. Oh, don't. No, the anxiety. I just released an episode with Joshua Miller. I worked with him at Rise 8. He's a cool dude. We talked about Little Girl Lost, which is on.
That's right. Get your fourth dimension on in that one.
Parodied by The Simpsons.
I listened to some of that episode, Brandon.
Oh, good job, Travis.
Look at me listening to that podcast.
I have a handful of people that I've reached out to that are going to be on the show. And I just, again, like, everything kind of swirled around. I'm like, okay, I gotta hit them back up again.
So all of that said, we're soups busy. Totes, malotes. But we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being part of the show. we are going to head right immediately following this episode into our Twitch post show. If you want to be part of that show, if you want to keep the conversation going and be part of the discussion, head over to Twitch on Monday nights. Or you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can catch all the post shows over there. They are available at the second tier, whatever that is. They're on there. Check them out. patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody. And yeah, that's our show. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Travis. He's Brandon. This is what we do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.